Hi there, this is Erin Nicole, and you're listening to the Move Happy Movement podcast. On this show, I interview people from all over the world. Sometimes I do spirit-led sermons from the divine. In our household, we worship the Holy Trinity, Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I share music with you that I create, that the Holy Spirit inspires through me in all kinds of genres, because He lives and breathes. Every single breath in, I take every single breath out, and every day I learn to trust in Him to lead my life so that I can be a better minister to you and a better ambassador of His love because I choose to. So this show is all about helping people with depression, or if you're not diagnosed with that or you don't think you struggle with that, I think we all can appreciate going through a tough season. So I bring you nothing but the truth, real stories, real science, sometimes Bible verses, whatever comes through. Sometimes I tie in other faith systems as well as I learn from other belief systems. I'm a veteran spouse, and a part of being an American is the freedom of religion. So got about 62 days till I'm crowned the first ever chief spiritual officer of the United States of America. They added the position for me. They didn't know they added it for me. They thought they added it for other people. There's this contest I've been a part of for 3 years. And parents, this episode is definitely for adults only. So if you're listening to this in the car ride on your way to school, or taking your kids to the doctors, or to get their braces tightened on their little brackets and get their beeswax to protect the insides of their lips, this is not an episode for kids, okay? So I say that to say, review before sharing. You decide, parents, you decide what is appropriate for your children to hear, because I'm going to talk about the word S-E-X, yep, and the lack thereof. So the sermon the Holy Spirit told me to talk about, I kid you not. The Father is a hilarious Father. He really is. And He gave me the topic. It's called impotence. So here we go. The first thing that came to mind was the number one issue that doctors have, specifically doctors that prescribe psychiatric medications to help their patients, their male patients, is impotence. That is the number one problem of getting them to take their medications. Because if they are adults, sexual health is a part of your health as an adult. Now, the Father, of course, designed it for marriage. But if you don't believe in marriage, or you can't afford to get married and you decide to cohabitate, a monogamous relationship is what the Father desires if you can't keep it in your pants. So the problem with getting men to take their medications is after they start taking them, they realize that many psychotropic psychiatric medications, the side effect that they don't talk about when they hand you the pills is that you will not be able to have an erection. It is very difficult for most men to have an erection. So what we found when I worked in the psychiatric hospital where this whole Move Happy thing first started is many of the patients will cheek their medicine. That means they hide it to the side. The nurses, after they give them the meds, I forget their level. I think they're level 2. I don't know if that's standardized across the nation, but at least where I worked up in the Pacific Northwest, they would hand the medications. The nurses, I know firsthand specifically what they had to do because my neighbor across the street growing up, she does this job. She might be retired now, but she did this job for like 10, 15 years. So she had her back to the wall because she was the most hated nurse of all the nurses because they didn't like taking their medications because they were forced to take their medications. They had breaks removed from some bad nurses. She never did. She's a good lady, Leanna. But she told me, she said, you have to have your back to the wall. If these patients have a bad day, you can't take it personally. They will try to swing at you. She had a few times, unfortunately, people thought that she was the problem, and they busted her in the head just for handing out the medications. Yeah. That's how many men and some ladies That's how they respond to stress. And if you mess with someone's sexual health as an adult and you don't provide them alternatives, they will hit anybody, if not all people, but many people will hit anybody that they think is getting in the way of them being able to release. That is a form of release of stress, having sex. So not being able to have sex is a quick deterrent to taking their medication. So what does that mean? How can that impact your depression? Well, if you're in a relationship, I imagine, I don't have a penis. I have a vagina, just so we're all clear, in case you were wondering. I have perspective because my mother raised me and raised all three of us kids. I have two older brothers. She spent a lot of time in the car ride teaching us how to have alternative perspectives for other people, how to walk in other people's shoes is how she would describe it. I imagine it's a very demasculating thing to be used to using your appendage, your body part, to make love to your partner. And then because you're struggling, your doctor hands you pills and doesn't tell you about it. So I'm telling you, just so that you're aware, if you get a new diagnosis, expect that might be a side effect, and that's totally normal. So when you're getting medications that's brand new, give it, what did they say, Father? Was it 16 weeks? I think it was like 90 days. They said expect like the first 90 days they're going to tell you, try it out for 90 days consistently every day at the same time. If you don't like it, talk to your doctor, ask them to adjust the levels. Now, here's what I would also say. Ask them what are modifications before they hand you the pill and scooch out the door, right? Because they are paid. Some of the doctors, I know my doctor's office is different kind of, it's rehab for a car accident, but they have 10 minutes back to back to back to back patients. They are making boo-boo bucks. It's your job to have questions ready and say, hey, I've got a list of questions. So ask them this question. If I am impotent, I have a need with my wife to make love to my wife. This will negatively impact, you need to say this, my depression, which makes me at risk for suicidal ideations, which is the reason why you're giving me this medication. So what are my alternatives? What do you recommend? Then they might say, okay, well, let's throw in some exercise. Let's throw in some other things, right? They're going to start listening to you if you specifically state that. Then they might say, oh, well, come in sooner. Whatever. Then you have it noted and you say, can I have a copy of my notes of what we discussed today? Then they will be more mindful to get you in sooner if you have problems. You sometimes have to let people know in advance that you care about yourself when you go into doctor's offices. Assume the best in them, but also understand that their job is to make money and they see a bunch of patients every day. So you need to stand out respectfully, right? So that's the first thing that came to mind. What else, Father? Okay, he says, talk about the patients in Canada. So we had a meeting as a staff. I can't remember what the meeting was about, but one of the staff members from a different hall. We had a lot of town hall meetings. We were allowed to go through the they included the patients in it. It was actually a really great environment and culture there. They organized it very well. One of them I don't remember her name, but she worked in another hall, and she spoke about the differences in Canada and how they actually have rooms for couples because there's a lot of married couples where one of the partners will be hospitalized for a while. I know my great aunt, can I say her name, Father? Carmela, my grandmother's sister. She was hospitalized every single time she was pregnant because she had, I believe, bipolar disorder, and she could not take her medications while she was pregnant because it was a potential harm to her baby. And they didn't talk about this in the house, but I'm just putting two and two together. I believe she had suicidal ideations because that is often pretty common with diagnoses if you all of a sudden don't take your medications. So they knew to hospitalize her during her pregnancies, so she would be hospitalized. So in Canada, what they have is rooms for partners, spouses, to make love. They rent it out. it's included in their treatment. They expect it because they provide for their sexual health. So that is something that America could add to psychiatric hospitals. Here is what I witnessed. This is straight to you, honest to God. I have no reason to tell you lies. I got to sub in a variety of classes until I was assigned permanently. And then even when I was assigned permanently, sometimes we would change shift and cover for classes if staff members called out sick, because we didn't have, like in the school system, you have to have a substitute teacher for your students. They don't have that with adult patients. We all just split the patients into a variety of classes to have coverage for them. So one of the classes is a job, and they clean the premises. They cleaned different areas, and one of them, there was a porta potty, and I opened the door with one of the patients because we had to check to make sure no patients were hiding during lockdowns and different things, because there's a few patients that had escaped and then they got into drugs, unfortunately, and they came back, and so then they made it even more strict for all of us based on the lessons, experiences of patients escaping. And that the escapes happened while they were already on permission to leave, and they are very smart, right? Because they're adults, and most people that are diagnosed with mental illness are extremely intelligent because they've had to be resourceful and smart. So anyways, so we checked the porta potty, and I seen condoms all over the base of the porta potty on the floor. And I said, hey, what's this about? And they said, oh, this is regular. You should check the bushes. I said, the bushes? They're like, yeah, people need to get it on. They'll do it wherever they want. So that told me that there is a need that America has, at least from my small, minute experience in 1 year. I was only there 12 months, but I created 5 alternative therapies. And here we are, you know, my first year there was 2016, in the late 2016 when my dad died, October, beginning of October. I was there like the last week of September was my first week of orientation without any patients. And then I worked with patients the next week. My dad died my third day working with patients. Incredible staff, incredible patient culture. It was the worst place to lose the best place, but worst situation in life, right, to lose a parent, but the best culture. And so I bring you nothing but the truth. I got nothing but love for everybody there. They all say good things about me. People have tried to find out bad information about me by, without my permission, reaching out to all of my connections. But I worked so diligently that nobody says bad things about me unless they're paid a lot of money to change their mind. And my husband trained me on that. Everybody's got a price. So just recognize that impotence can happen if you're diagnosed with a certain diagnosis, depression or anxiety, or other things too. They prescribe you medications that could be a side effect. So just take that with a grain of salt. You want to try the medication for depression or anxiety for 6 months maximum, and then you talk to your doctor and you say, hey, I know this affects my long-term memory. I don't want to have my long-term memory negatively impacted. So we need to figure out together alternative options. That's what you need to tell them, unless you don't care about your long-term memory. I bring you nothing but the truth. So it is what it is. All right, Father, is there anything else you want me to add? He says, Jeremiah 16:5. I don't have my Bible in front of me. I think it's in my backpack here. Let me see. I was literally on the road today handling some business. Taking care of business. Let's see. Did I bring it? No, I think I left it at the house. But you can look up Jeremiah 16:5. Oh, he says, you look it up, Aaron, right now, Father. All right. Let's see what it says. Let me get my other device out. I have had to get multiple devices over the course of the 3 years of this contest because they hack in, they mess with my emails, phone numbers, text messages. They send messages as if they were me. Espionage, personifications, lots and lots of illegal activities. And they did it so many times and forced me into homelessness as well 3 times in the last 3 years. Blocking me from making money as well for the last 3 years for Move Happy and Aaron Nicole Media, but I just keep it moving. All right, so here we go. Jeremiah 16:5. Do not enter a house where there is a funeral meal. Do not go to mourn or show sympathy, because I have withdrawn my blessing, my love, and my pity from this people. And that was verses 5 and 6. That was the NIV translation. So let me read it again. Do not enter a house where there is a funeral meal. Do not go to mourn or show sympathy, because I have withdrawn my blessing, my love, and my pity from this people. Father, what is the intention of that verse? Okay. He wants me to say this out loud. I am not concerned over the well-being of people that have on purpose blocked Aaron Nicole from helping people with depression. I know every single one of you that on purpose blocked her healing powers through my son, Jesus Christ. Anyone who blocks her any further will immediately die of diseases, cancers. Really? Leprosy, locusts. I will inflict all of the pains I sent in Egypt in the Old Testament. Do not test the Lord. Whew. Okay. You heard it straight from my mouth. That was the Lord speaking through me. Anything else, Father? He says, I love my daughter. Aaron Nicole is my daughter. No one harms her. No one messes with her. No one blocks her from making money any further. Tell the landlord to ease up. Do not harm the landlord. Otherwise, you will cause an uprise of all the outlaws across America. You do not want that. Keep it breezy. Anything else, Father? Wow, this is supernatural. Impotence. Who would have thought? Talk about my husband? Okay, what do you want me to say? I love my husband so deeply. It's been almost a year and a half. Easter Sunday, he told me he wanted the dog tags back because of this contest. The Democratic Party threatened a warrant officer, black female warrant officer, who spent at that time over 20 years of dedicated service, SEER training certified, meaning she was raped on purpose. Yeah. They've done all kinds of nasty things to women in the military in the United States. I'll bring you nothing but the truth. They threatened her active duty status. And I imagine they also probably threatened her family if she didn't cooperate and call me. First, disassociate from me on all social media, pretend like she didn't know me, and then called me out of the blue. A year after committing to being my board member, the launcher of my nonprofit ministries, no one will harm her. They threatened her family. That is not acceptable. To threaten a female in America. To threaten a military person who could have already retired. Yeah. And a black female. Yeah. Obama, you messed up real bad on that one. Yeah. So, she's not in the circle anymore because she betrayed my husband and me. But nobody harms her. Nobody harms her. She was my friend of 7 years. But she doesn't have a relationship with the father, and she told me that already. She doesn't have a relationship with him, so I understand. She doesn't see things how I see things through spiritual eyes. I still love her as a friend, but I can't call her a friend anymore, and I told her not to message me anymore because of what happened. This contest is a first in history. Many Americans shamed our nation for the choices you've made. But I'm willing to show mercy, because the more mercy we show, the more mercy is shown back to us. I'm willing to forgive everything that's happened, but we're not going to pretend like it didn't happen. I was sent on purpose, Nobody told me, but you used me as a woman, as an American citizen, committing treason and terrorism by sending me to someone that you knew on purpose worked for President Trump. You knew it. He denied it to me because he said, Aaron, I can't tell you who I work for. Otherwise, you could be in danger. Someone could capture you and torture you for information. Do you understand the severity, the level of protection you're under right now? And I was like, thank you for explaining that to me. But the first guy I met was young and impulsive, and he was brand new in his position during the changeover from Trump's first term in office to Biden's. And he came to my house, and he on purpose sent me as an American citizen, and then told me I was getting protections, and then signed a contract to steal from me for 3 years. I'm going to forgive that man too, discreetly. I'm never going to say his name out loud, ever. He shamed the Democratic Party, but I'm willing to forgive because I have so much of Jesus's love in my heart. I'm in his bloodline, and I also choose every day. I choose joy. I choose to love those who persecute me. I choose to love my enemies. You can choose that as well. So if you don't know this father and you don't have a personal relationship with this father that I have, and you desire to have this relationship with him where you have peace in the storm, no matter what, I encourage you to do it now because there's no guarantees of tomorrow. Repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift of salvation. I can't earn it. I can't buy it. You give it freely to those who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I know I make mistakes, but I do not desire to. Please show me when I make wrongs. Show me a way to make it right. And even better, prevent me. Show me discernment so that I don't make mistakes. Guide my every step. In your name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to welcome you to the family. Your next steps are to get plugged into a Bible-based church. You want to keep God first place. And Father, should I ask for anything in this episode? Okay, he says, wives, speak to your husbands. What else? About the impotence problem. He says, their mental health, this is straight from the father, your husband's mental health is more important than sex. You need to speak that aloud to your husbands because they are feeling, or they are sensing, my husband doesn't like the word feel, they are sensing demasculation. They are sensing that they are failing as a man. You need to speak these words of life to them, that their mental health is more important than sex right now. Tell them, we will get this fixed, 6 months or less. We could beat this. We've been through everything together. This is another speed bump for us to work through together. Okay? And then you start planning fun things to look forward to as a couple. And if you have children as a family, you can still have date nights without sex. There is so much power in celibacy, I promise you. I haven't been with my husband for a year and a half. And he told me he wanted a divorce, and then he didn't fill out the paperwork, which blocked me from becoming a foster parent or adopting children. And I had no idea what was going on because a bunch of these liars in the Blackwater alumni group on purpose tried to have us killed. And he didn't know how to fix it, so he did the best he could to keep me alive because that was priority number one, the promise he made to me and to the Heavenly Father. So I dated other people because I was like, well, he told me he wants a divorce. And I was getting harassed, digitally harassed from all of his buddies. They had no idea what was going on until I finally started understanding what really was going on. We were being hacked. All of us were being hacked from the CCP. Yeah, you messed with the wrong veteran spouse, top-trained assassin of President Trump. I can't wait to see my husband. I know he forgives me. And if he decides he don't want to be with me, that's fine. But at least he knows I ain't a scared little. I ain't gonna say that word because it's not church appropriate. But you know what I was gonna say. Mm-hmm. I love you guys. Anything else, Father? Sing it with some emphasis. He says, sing it with some emphasis. Don't forget to tell someone you love them today. And we'll see you next time.